You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Welcome to Quantum Leap Book Club. During the next hour, beloved mind scientist Parisha and her guests from around the world will read and discuss various best-selling books with well-known authors. Every show will apply retention techniques designed to help you to absorb powerful knowledge to effectively change your life. Join us every week for a thought-provoking hour and re-listen as often as you can. You will be delighted by what you learn, and you will be excited by the results. Are you ready to take the quantum leap? Here's Parisha.
This is Quantum Leap Book Club, and our regular host, Parisha, will not be joining us tonight as she's traveling and teaching. So her co-host will cover tonight's material. We have Geraldine Dalby Ball, environmental biologist from Sydney, Australia, Trina Cooper, lifelong entrepreneur from Denver, Colorado, Rosemary Heyer, English teacher working with children in Frankfurt, Germany, Dr. Joyce Mullenhauer, doctor of naturopathy in Kingman, Arizona, and Marianne Love, psychologist from Melbourne, Australia. And our book this week is called Code to Joy by George Pratt and Peter Lambrow. We're in Chapter 4, and we'll be discussing pages 107 to 129. And we're broadcasting through Law of Attraction Radio Network. So let's begin. Now, I can say I'm Marianne, and I can say personally that I'm really enjoying this book. It has so much to offer for all of us and some really easy steps that you could pretty much do at home without the need of a therapist. And that says something coming from a psychologist who takes people through these kinds of processes all the time. But this is just a really, just broken it down to what you need to do this on yourself at home and get really the nuts and bolts of it all out very quickly. So you can spend years in therapy kind of floating around talking about all the different things that ever happened to you in your life, and this just gets basically right down to the core of it and gets it out of your nervous system, out of the unconscious. So I think, you know, one of the things that really stood out to me for this chapter is looking at the energetic field or the biofield around a person and how everything in our reality is actually created through polarity, through the positive and negative charges. You know, you can think of a battery or a magnet. You know, everything in the universe has a charge on it, including the human body. And there's been some really interesting research looking at, using this magnetic charge to diagnose and to understand when it goes off. So in this chapter, they discuss some scientists who looked at the polarity around the body. Dr. Burr was his name, and I was really interested in following this up a bit further, but they looked at, you know, when mice had cancer and if it could actually be measured in the field around the body, which is the electrical charge around the body, and they could actually measure pre-cancer and post-cancer, that there was actually a different electrical charge in the body. And there's been lots of researchers since Dr. Burr had done that originally, because he died in 1973, so his research was in the mid-1900s, so it was really groundbreaking work. They measured the, you know, psychological and mental health disorder in people through using electrical charge, and measured things like if you were needing to, if you wanted to have a baby and you couldn't, and looking at ovulation actually being able to be measured in the biofield of the person and then using that information to have a baby. So it's really, really interesting work. So I really enjoyed how that they gave us some steps to look at our own polarity and how if we were in balance or if we weren't in balance, and to measure that through, you know, using the polarity of our hand on our head, and maybe some other co-hosts want to go into more detail about that, but it was really interesting. I did try that myself. I put my hand on top of my head and I used, and my partner helped me test, you know, last chapter we looked at the muscle testing, and so I just stretched my arm out and to see if my hand was on my head palm down and my arm was out, you know, was that stronger or weaker than when I shifted, turned my hand over and I had the back of my hand on my head, you could tell a difference. If your palm was on the top of your head, for me, because I looked like my polarity was a bit out at that moment, it was actually weaker than when I put the back of my hand on my head. So I just went through myself and did some of his processes, some of his grounding techniques and breathing techniques to reverse polarity, and I found that it worked. I got it retested, and it was actually different when I did it again. So it worked for me. So, I'm definitely going to start applying some of these strategies with my clients, because I think it's really helpful to ground first and get your system in a comfortable position. And I know when I did the cross-hand breathing technique that they've got in here, that I really felt like I was in this little bubble. It's like having a warm blanket on. It felt really, really nice. I just felt my whole nervous system relax and expand into that breathing practice that they have on there, which was crossing your hand over your chest and your leg over and just breathing in and out through the nose, which is all really well described in the book. I'm finding this really, really powerful. So, and I hope some of you at home are also finding that, and I hope my other co-hosts are also finding that. But it'd be great to hear now from our next co-host. You know, what are you finding with this book?
Yeah, this is Rosemary. I agree. It's really very practical, and I love the exercise about the cross-breathing. But what he is really going into is to introduce energy psychology, and I think it's kind of funny because so many times in our book calls, we have talked about energy, that everything is energy, and now finally in the last years, or even 10 years, you said even earlier, they're coming up with the idea that even our psychological symptoms and our emotions are connected with our energies. And he's actually using the word biofield and saying that it consists of the meridians we have, which are well known from the Chinese acupuncture, the energy lines in our body, and it consists of the energy centers called chakras also. And it's actually an electromagnetic field which is very close to your skin, and as you said, Marianne, it can be measured. And the other important thing is, if you think like maybe that's completely new for you and you're doing that exercise and you think it's kind of strange or so, there have been immense studies, even double-blind studies, like David Feinstein is one of the major guys who did that, and he's mentioning him also in this chapter, and he did a major study for 14 years with 29,000 people. And I researched on that a little bit, and there were significant results, which is important in traditional statistics, of the effectiveness of energy psychology, and especially when it came to phobia or anxiety disorders. There were 5,000 people in that study. They had done different things, and 90% of them had improvements after 1 year, compared to 63% who did classical therapy. So it's kind of like coming back to the same thing, that the traditional ways of doing things are really losing a hold against the idea that everything is energy. And what I liked about the book is that he's introducing that cross-hand breathing, and maybe someone can explain that more in detail. Because when I do my English courses, I always start with what they also call brain gym, which comes also from the energy psychology idea. And I also always start with ideas or cross exercises. Like he's suggesting one, which is where you're stepping your knee, your left knee with your right hand, and your right knee with your left hand, and you're really using your arms very high. That's very important. And I do that with the children of all ages, and it amazes me how many of them are not able to do it right away. And the cause is what he calls polarity reversal. We are influenced by so many things which disturb our field, our polarity field, which is organized by north and south, by computer, especially by stress, but also traumatic events, by electrical lines, by strong chemical, medicine people taking. So to get the idea that maybe once in a while in a day you just do this little exercise to get your polarity straight makes a big difference. I mean, he's sharing the book that people immediately feel a lightness and a clarity around them. So I like the idea in this chapter that you have this simple exercise to straighten yourself out, maybe after a couple of hours on the computer or maybe after a stressful situation or a stressful day. So that's it from you for right now.
Wonderful. Thank you, Rosemary from Germany. And who would like to share next?
This is Joyce in Kingman, Arizona. This chapter starts off with a real horror story, one that's so difficult to even imagine that it could happen, where a whole village was wiped out and only two children survived. And those two children ended up in an orphanage with 200 other children. I guess there was 400 at one point in the residence. And, of course, the trauma of this horrible experience left a great effect on all of these children. So there was a leader, Carolyn Sakai, a PhD psychologist from Honolulu, who actually went to the orphanage and started to work with these children. And it was amazing the effect that they were able to create and help, especially this young girl, Chantel, that they use as an example. So I think they started off with an extreme case like that because some of us might doubt and say, well, we haven't changed yet, or we've tried things and they haven't worked, or whatever all the crazy excuses that go on in our heads. And how can you not think this is worth trying? It's something that's so extreme that they had such good effect with. And I like the humor they pull out. They describe a story of a truth seeker who wanted to know how to find peace and joy. So he went to visit a monk. And the monk asked him if he'd like some tea, and he brought out two cups and a teapot. And the young man just kept asking questions and talking. And as he was doing that, the monk kept pouring the tea. And before long, the teacup, of course, overflowed. And the young man jumped up and said, "You're spilling the tea all over the floor." And the monk looked at him very serenely and said, "Your cup's already full. You cannot take on new information." And the man realized, the young man, as they put here, in that moment, the young man became enlightened. Well, he probably did, because it was such a very clear example. But we can learn that quickly if we are open and we don't have our mind so full of what we think, and we allow answers to come. So I'll let another co-host give some more details.
Absolutely, Joyce. Thanks for that. And it's so true. Like, if we were to just go with what we've been, many of us have been indoctrinated with about energy and energy medicine and all of that not being a science and things like with what we've been taught, then we would be too closed to accept some of these truths that actually are very measurable. They're becoming mainstream, and they have a really powerful effect on the human body and change. Like, I do neurofeedback in my psychology practice, where I actually measure the electromagnetic field that comes off the brain. So it's crazy to think that we're not electrical beings, and these things can't be picked up by normal equipment and therefore influence. So thank you for that, Joyce. So, Trina, I know you're on the line. What would you like to share?
Hi, yeah, I love this chapter. In fact, I loved it so much that I did a little bit today on a webinar. I do these little health and wellness moments when we do the webinars. And this whole idea of the body being like a rechargeable battery. And when you think about the battery, you have the negative and positive ends of the battery. And if you work with them, you know, put them in the right way, then the things work. But if you reverse that polarity, then things don't work at all. And so I actually talked to the group about this a little bit today, thinking about themselves as a rechargeable battery. Being out on the job, you know, you can start feeling your energy levels going down, or you can feel yourself being out of sorts. And so it talked a little bit about, why does our polarity reverse? Like, when the polarity in our body, in that biofield, feels really good, you know, when we feel really good, it's in great working order. But when it gets disrupted or it reverses, we start finding ourselves saying things like, "I feel really out of sorts right now," or "I feel really tired," or "I don't I can't focus on anything, those kinds of things. And that there is a way, by using these techniques in this book, sometimes simply by breathing, doing this cross breathing and the cross body breath, you can completely re-energize yourself. You can recharge your battery. And I shared that with them. I thought that was just the greatest idea. But what we don't realize sometimes is that simple things in our environment can totally turn us, you know, can totally reverse the polarity in our body. And some of the things, the examples that the book gave, which I thought were really great, was the fact that sometimes it's an experience we have that can shock us, that can do it. But also, it might be...
She must have dropped off. So we'll just have her come back on in a minute when she gets back on to share the rest of what she was saying. But it was really valuable. So I hope she comes back on soon. I know you're on the line, Geraldine. What would you like to share?
Well, the key thing for this chapter, as I read it, is a reinforcing not only of the previous chapters, but our place in the earth and in the universe. And more that we look at, if one was to look at our own electromagnetic field and to see those images and diagrams of it, and then we look at the earth and the earth's electromagnetic field, we can see exactly the same thing going on. And I know there's additional research which could parallel with what we're reading in Code to Joy, which shows us that there's a sense of contentment and happiness and, you know, an equalizing of our polarity when we are in tune with the electromagnetic fields of the earth. Or it may be said that the electromagnetic fields of the earth resonate with us. So either way, we have an effect and the earth has an effect on us. So as we move forward, particularly in this day and age, when we are a lot more global and we have a lot more awareness around environmental situations, it's how do we reach out and touch a tree when we go past it? And I know at this time when we've had more social restrictions, I've seen some lovely posts where people say, you know, if you can't hug another person, hug a tree. There's so much to that in terms of the science. And again, our polarity, because not only humans, but all living beings have an electromagnetic field. And there's some terrific cameras as well that pick up frequencies, and they can show you that there's fields around what one may call an inanimate object, a rock, for example. So everything is emanating a field. So it doesn't mean we've got to throw away all technology, but to bring a consciousness around it, because the book says to us in quite a few ways, you know, things like fluorescent lights may have effect. I'm sure our phones, anything that's electromagnetic radiation. But if we can give purpose to it, and we can define it, and we say, you know, this is for the greatest good. And the be in cause, because the more the book shows us, we are an amazing being with our 14 meridians, you know, and that's known throughout the ages, especially in the Eastern medicines with acupuncture and others. The chakras, again, normally very well known from, again, the Indian line of information and healing. And in modern science, the biofield itself, looking at that fine electromagnetic field from the skin and outwards. And I heard someone say the other day, if we think of a telephone, and while all the information we perceive is in the telephone, for that telephone to work, that mobile phone to work, it has to be having an effect far from it to pick up the signals from the satellites and then translate them. So remember to think of ourselves in that way. And it said before, you know, Katrina earlier, this is a battery. This is a biological living being, but we extend so much further from this to pick up information and to put out information. So the information in this book, and I highly recommend people do the exercises, and especially from pages 125 to 128, there's a whole suite of exercises, fantastic to do with young people as well, that help put that polarity back in and ground one. Now, why do we need to do it? I think the more that we can understand that not only ourselves, every living thing and the earth has an electromagnetic field, it's like an orchestra and we're all musical instruments. And when we're playing together, it sounds beautiful. Life is so much easier. And that's where I'll leave that today.
Great. Thank you, Geraldine. Now, Trina's back on, so would you like to continue on? You were on such a roll before. I'd love to hear what you had to say. Are you there, Trina?
I am. Really, really funny day. I don't know if my biofield, blew this out, but on our webinar this morning, we actually lost the internet 2 minutes before we went on, and my cell service completely dropped. So very, very crazy.
But you're having a powerful day.
Yeah. We were talking about these electromagnetics on high power lines and things. And, you know, if you think about all the radio waves, all the TV transmissions, everything pulsing through the atmosphere that's around our body, it's bound to take a toll. And one of the things that, you know, they shared in the book was when you have these polarity reversals for a long period of time, they actually do take a toll on your health. So I got back on, I heard Geraldine talking a little bit about some of the things that do affect us that we don't even think about. And in an industry that I was in, which was cleaning, you don't think about those strong chemicals. But sometimes I think you can imagine when you smell something, sometimes you can feel like your whole body is going weak. And it's messing with your whole field. So you need to become very aware of the fact that when you start feeling those energy drains coming off your body, there's a way that you can correct it to bring the energy back in. And as Geraldine said, the exercises in this are short, they're sweet, they take 1 minute, whatever, to help bring that energy back into you. So, you know, this was really cool. I hope more people use what is in this book, is nothing just to help correct that polarity so that they feel great all the time, but relieving that debris, like the beginning of the chapter is called a disturbance in the force. When you have a disturbance in your force and it's knocking you out, you have tools to use, and you might as well use them, because who wants to walk around feeling terrible all day? So, So I have more to add after, but I'll put this back over to you, Marianne.
Sure. None of us want to walk around feeling terrible every day, I hope. And if we do, then we're addicted to feeling terrible, and we need to look at that personally. So I know, Joyce, you had something you wanted to share.
Yes, I think one of the really important principles that is brought forward in this book, and particularly in this chapter, is that we are actually beautifully designed to be self-correcting and self-healing organisms. So even a person like this young Chantel at 3 years of age, who had to run for her life, and she and one other child were the only ones that escaped from her whole village, and the horror of living with that, and yet finding the processes that are offered in this chapter, helping her to get past that, it isn't a matter that the memories get removed, but they lose their sting and their power, so that people can actually pick up their lives and still have joy, which is what the book is all about. This is how we're going to find some joy. And I think the other part of this to remember is that in the moments that when we're in the middle of one of the heaviest stressful experiences that we can imagine and sort of feel like we're lost in it, it's very important to, this big word homeostasis is a good one, but you don't have to know that word to just understand that this too can pass, and especially if you're open and willing to try techniques like are offered, there's others besides what's in this book, but you're not going to forget what the bad circumstances were, but they'll no longer own you, and that is so huge.
Absolutely. Thanks, Joyce. And what would you like to say, Rosemary?
Yeah, I said I would love to share. I'd like to go a little bit into how it actually works, because it's fascinating how he shares that from the work Dr. Feinstein, David Feinstein did. And basically it's connected to the limbic brain, and that is actually the part of the brain which has the hypothalamus and the thalamus, and also the famous amygdala, which has been talked about before. It's basically the part of the brain which is responsible for your emotions and your motivation and your feelings of pleasure and survival. So it's all about that part which deals with emotions and trauma. And he says that the amygdala is actually, as we have learned before, is getting activated in that moment when we are experiencing a traumatic event or stress or a strong emotion. And then we have, as we know from Dr. Joe, a cascade of chemicals in our body which are released. And the body gets used to it, and so it's basically a chemical residue which we have in our body from all this. So, and the amygdala gets activated, and when we are using the tapping, which is a part of the energy psychology strategy or methods, when we're using the cross breathing, like crossing our arms, or we're using some of these exercises, we are actually sending a decreasing sign. We are actually sending a sign or a signature to stop this or to go against the arousal of the amygdala. So that we have, we're stimulating a certain acupoint, or we're stimulating a meridian, or we're using our arms to cross them, and so we can actually decrease that signal. And if we keep doing that, and we learn later in the book that we have to do that maybe a few minutes, it immediately changes. That's also fascinating for me, how fast it works. I mean, it immediately influences the whole limbic system, starting with your amygdala, and changes the idea of being stressed and being having that emotional reaction or emotional experience as part of your biochemistry in your body. It just releases that. And as studies have shown, and it's also said in the book, it releases that really forever. I mean, they have been interviewing the people after 1 year, especially with tests, and they had no symptoms at all, even after 1 year of their post-traumatic stress disorder. So it's a fascinating process, and it's really worth to look into it, because it has been scientifically underlined and also tested. Thank you so far.
Thanks. Yeah, that bit of the book stood out for me as well, because sort of like you want to understand how does it actually change, because it seems otherwise just a bit magical. And, you know, when trauma is installed in the body, when pain and suffering is installed in the body, it's the body's natural response to learning and to understanding, if I protect myself from this thing, I'll never have to go through it again. So if a memory has a strong charge on it, then when that memory continues, so we keep remembering things, it re-arouses the amygdala, which then, you know, installs the fight-flight mechanism to kick in. So it's really interesting how if you use, like I like how he said in the book, you know, when you remember a past memory, that's the flea. You remember how last chapter they talked about the flea and the elephant? He says, you know, you remember a past event. Okay, that's the flea, remembering the past event and wanting to change it. And in remembering it, it induces the amygdala to go into its automatic response, because that memory has the charge on it. The amygdala response is associated with that memory. So you go into arousal and go into a protective way of looking after yourself. So it's like high alert. And then by using the acupressure point, that actually sends a message to the amygdala in association with that memory that it's actually calm and safe. And so there's a new association with the memory. And I often find, because EMDR therapy is very similar to this, it's different, but it's quite similar, based on similar principles, which he does describe in this chapter of the book, how they have used EMDR therapy a lot, but they've distilled this and energy psychology and things to come up with this four-step process that people can use at home. In EMDR therapy, I really noticed that my clients who have had really traumatic events, they do still at the end of it remember the event, but sometimes the memory's changed, or sometimes the memory feels further away and hard for them to see, like it's behind a veil, or there's often shifts in the actual memory itself, because once they've taken the amygdala's response off it, they're seeing it then from different perspectives or different points. So they might be seeing it from an adult perspective, or they might see that it wasn't actually as bad as it looked at, felt at that time, because I was only 3 years old. And my, you know, the amygdala just went into a massive fight-flight response. So often, sometimes the memory is actually really hard for them to find again. After they've taken the arousal out of it, it just sort of like vanishes, dissipates. So just depending on the event, but it's not surprising how it says in this book, you know, people, even people that have been in the military and gone through, you know, different wars and things that were having PTSD responses, they were having nightmares and flashbacks and things that actually after five or six sessions of reassociating their fear response with the memory, that they actually no longer have those nightmares and things anymore, only after a short amount of time. Quite profound, really, that something so simple could shift the symptoms that are so severe for some people, and that the process isn't rocket science. It's just a matter of re-scripting the memory with the amygdala, the unconscious response, which is the elephant in our, you know, described in our, in this book. Now, I know we've got some other co-hosts on the line who are pretty keen to share. Who'd like to go next?
This is Trina in Denver. There's some of the events or shows that I've done deal with alternative medicine, or what I like to call complementary medicine, which is sometimes, you know, like Chinese medicine. Sometimes it's some of these energy medicines, and they're a little bit out of the scope of Western. But the combination of them really does an amazing job in not just healing the traumas, but also the physical body and some of the illnesses. And I wanted to share a couple of those with you that I personally believe work. One of them is called EFT, Emotional Freedom Technique, which is basically tapping on the different meridians, the acupuncture, the acupressure, points in the body, using any of those. There was a therapy that I used that was called NAET, which is Nambu Dripad Allergy Elimination Techniques. I actually did this because I had such bad allergies to cats and horses that I needed sometimes emergency treatment. By using these, basically using Chinese medicine, acupuncture, working on the meridians, working on the energy field of the body, I was able to clear almost all of my allergies, and I can literally be in a room with cats now for hours, and I can still feel little, but I don't get like I did. I can go up and pet a horse, which I couldn't even be near a horse. People literally had to come home, take their clothes off, take a shower, wash their clothes. I couldn't get near them. So, and that is all I did. I used this technique, which worked on the biofield, using the energies that were there to clear the allergies that I had. There's also some of the others, like the journey work was another one that dealt with some of this. But one of the pieces I wanted to share too, and I know some of you experienced this, so you may want to take off on it a little bit too, was Harry Oldfield's work using the polycontrast interference photography, or the PIP photography, where you could literally see the energy field around the body and around other things, and where there was a blockage, where there was an injury, it would show up differently. And then you could literally treat it, and part of the work he was doing was testing these energy healing techniques to see if they actually worked. And so he would do a before photography and then an after, and you could actually see where the energy field had cleared up. So there's a lot of science around this. It's really helpful to a lot of people. And if you're not getting anywhere with traditional Western medicine, I would definitely take some of these exercises and use them, or look for some of these other therapies that are having huge impact on so many people. So I don't know if one of you wants to, you know, touch in a little bit on what Harry did or the experiences you had, but that just, all I could see was like the aura picture that we could actually see that field.
Yeah, thanks, Trina. Yeah, I've got one of Harry Oldfield's filters, and it's really fun. Like, you actually put it in front of your camera, and you go out and you take pictures of different things in the environment, and you can see all sorts of like different colors coming off objects that, or just in the middle of the field, there'll be like a person, like it looks like a person standing in the middle of the field because you see this energy pattern that's different colors from the rest of the field. It's really, really fun to look at. And some of that equipment that shows your chakras and shows which chakra is out and which one's aligned, like they're really powerful. You just, I just like in this book that it gives you something to do with all of that information. Like you don't just go, oh, my solar plexus is miles out. You know, you actually have something you can do about it and you use it to, you know, get aligned more consciously because you're getting clear of all those unconscious programs that are causing your systems to be out of line on a consistent basis. Once the elephant's carrying the program, just everything continues to replicate itself in that pathway. So these tools help clear that, so you get to recreate yourself all the time. And I know Geraldine had something to add to all of that.
Yes, what I guess the key thing for people listening and reading the book is it has so much science in it as well that allows one to then say, okay, while the normal mainstream message is we're basically a biological machine, almost like a car that needs fixing. We need to fix this bit or cut out that bit or put back this bit. However, that's a relatively recent way of approaching the beingness, because normally that energy knowledge is much greater. And we do have science, like for those who are interested in, on page 109, there's the information on the what's called a double blind experiment, which means the people themselves don't know what group they've been put in and the people testing them don't know what group they're put in. So it's not like you can say, well, you knew you were the group that were getting the energy therapy, or you or the people testing them knew that this was the group that was getting the energy therapy. So with nobody knowing which group, obviously someone knows, but not the people in the experiment or those doing the testing. And they found that with looking at the people, they were actually young people who went through 5,000 patients, so this is not a small sample size, 5,000 patients who had a range of anxiety disorders. Some of them were put into an experimental group where they got energy psychology treatment, and then others got the normal cognitive behavior or medication. And they looked at this results through time. So they had a look at 1 month, 3, 6, and a yearly intervals then. And they showed through that 90% of the group that had the energy psychology as part of their treatment showed improvement. It's just massive, you know, and 63% of the control group. So we still had improvement in the control group, which is fantastic. 76% of those were from that group of having the energy psychology work. 76% of them were judged as symptom-free, whereas 51% of the control group were. So as we're talking, really large numbers. So let's say they were halved. That's 2,500 patients that had 76% of them came out as symptom-free at the end of the 5 years. And wonderful to know that half of those who didn't get any of those therapies also had an improvement. But it just shows that there is science behind this. It's just not necessarily what's talked about in the mainstream. So again, we need to say, where does our information come from? Look for ourselves, put these things in place, do the exercises, for example, in this book and on page 125 to 128, and look for yourself and then share, because there is so much information out there. It's just not necessarily in the mainstream that shows we are energy. Energy ways, methods definitely influence our health and well-being. So that's just one example of an experiment that's there as well.
Thank you, Geraldine. Rosemary, what would you like to add to that?
Yeah, I'd like to add something from the chapter actually at the end, which I think kind of like puts it in a context, what he is suggesting to do. I mean, he's sharing several exercises you can look up in the book. And he's saying that some emotional events are like spills. They are just messy, but they go away. And then he says, some events so are more than spills. They are stains, and no amount of scrubbing can get them out. And he actually says that they believe that before you even go into any tapping or any deeper work and creating positive beliefs, you have to clear the underlying negative beliefs and the other interfering patterns we have. So he's saying it's really important to do this step two, to rebalance your body's energy and to prepare for repatterning. So they are later working on developing positive beliefs in this book, but for now it is a very important step. And I thought that it's interesting because I have done energy psychology, and it wasn't always focused so much on first clear your body's energy and to prepare. And this is basically what the step two of this chapter is proposing, that you are doing some of the cross hand breathing or the walking with your arms crossing your midline of the body, or other exercises he's sharing, and then also grounding, that you are using a grounding exercise by focusing on the earth and connecting to the earth. So it is really important to first clear that. And he's also saying that they have been studying, as Serena has shared, many of these techniques, from EFT to there are others like MTT and BFF, and there's many of these strategies and methods in the energy psychology. And they have studied that, and they boiled it actually down to just a few simple steps which are very effective. So I like that too, that they boiled down some of the more complicated, long methods you have to do, like EFT. And I like to add, he's mentioning EMDR, which is the eye sensitive, the movement which of the eyeballs, working with the eyeballs. And I just read recently that EMDR is one of the methods they're actually officially allowing to be used when there are accidents, when there are major accidents and traumatic events in the USA. They actually can use officially EMDR, which is also a technique to resolve emotional events or emotional residues in your body. And that's where we're right now.
Absolutely. EMDR just became a mainstream psychological technique here in Australia as well as of last week. So that's pretty exciting for us, because of all the techniques I've ever used in therapy over the last 20 years, I've found EMDR to be the fast track of doing these really deep shifts. It's same as what he's talking about in here. So, you know, when they spoke about that lady who had experienced the loss of her whole family, and that, you know, six sessions or so she could clear that trauma from her nervous system, I totally understand how that and why that happens, because in EMDR it's pretty much exactly the same. They're tapping the unconscious and clearing the charge off that memory, you know, and there are a few techniques that do it. So it's exciting that this has now become mainstream, because it took 20 or 30 years for that to become accepted, even though the results of EMDR therapy were there 20 years ago. It's just now, after all this research and time and people using it and training in it, it's now become mainstream. So it's exciting. Times are changing and we're opening up to more of these techniques as our reality, which is really wonderful for the earth. I mean, imagine if we had a planet of people who healed their past pain and suffering and could clear their negative beliefs, like I'm unsafe or I'm unworthy or I'm unloved or I'm alone, like, you know, which they he goes through a great process earlier in this book of how to identify all of those things. And this chapter we're preparing really to clear them by getting into some grounding strategies and just centering ourselves so that we're ready to tap that unconscious pain and clear it from the nervous system. So, you know, it's very, very simple in the way that they've done it, but so profound. And I know how complicated that is. In EMDR therapy, sometimes we spend a while trying to find out, you know, what is the belief and what's the emotional charge that we want to clear. And you know, they've done it in a way here that you could just do it at home and you could do it on yourself, which is, you know, so powerful. Saves thousands of dollars of therapy and lots of time. And it's so liberating. So it's really good. It's really good for the people. Who else has something to share about this chapter?
This is Joyce. Just as a little follow-up for what you're saying there, there are some people who will experience something that is so simple, like breathing in, breathing out with alternate nostril breath, or having your arms and your legs crossed in a different way. They'll say, well, that's just a chance thing that that happened to help me. And to go back to the amygdala that we talked about a lot, it's such a small part of the brain right in near the center. But it has an important job of alerting the whole body if there is danger. So what this process does then, all the ideas and the tools that are offered here, is that it interrupts what the amygdala does so that it isn't shutting down your mind from thinking clearly. It isn't shutting down the ability to shift and adjust. And I think it's important to realize that this book also gives us the studies that are going. And some of those have been mentioned already today. But Harvard has done brain imaging and shows the effect on the brain of acupuncture. And then it definitely shows that the signal to the amygdala gets interrupted. And that is how an adjustment in the emotional charge can happen. So I feel they're coming from just about every angle in this book. And it's an important book to read for sure.
Great, Joyce. Thank you. Who would like to share next?
And this is Geraldine, and part of that was actually, it's great timing hearing Joyce's, because it builds upon that with a little bit of a personal reflection as well, to understand that the amygdala is definitely responsible for not only perceiving emotions, and it helps to store the memories. As Joyce said, it also is important that it recognizes future similar events, and it's that thing of recognizing future similar events. It then means that you are in the past when you're stimulating your amygdala. You might be about to cross the road and say you've been hit by a car or nearly hit sometime before, and that memory's in there. Even though right now at this present time it's safe for you to cross the road, the whole flush of emotions and even fear and adrenaline can come through your body because the amygdala has said, this is a really similar situation. And I know I personally experienced that at a particular set of crossroads in Sydney when I drive there, because it's where I did have a car accident. I won't be thinking of it at all necessarily. And then I'll be at that location, same set of lights, and a whole response will come on. Now, it's great that I understand this science in the book, because then I can say to my body, I appreciate you for letting me know this is a potential dangerous situation. This is a different time and we are currently safe. So acknowledging and appreciating that role is one thing. The other is knowing then that that's just a tiny bit of our body, that our whole body has that biofield. So to know that there's different polarity inside our mouth, for example, might have the negative electrons. On our different organs we'll have, whereas on the top of our head it can have, and then other parts of our body, like the soles of our feet, will have the opposite polarity. So as it says, we are a battery. When I say a battery, we are a beingness with polarity. When we say negative, it doesn't mean bad. It just means that energy will flow in a particular direction. Now, what happens when I go to that car park area, that uncomfortable feeling I have also puts my polarity out. But knowing a simple exercise like breathing, I can acknowledge what the amygdala has done. I can put in place the tools, and within moments, can be back to a good state. So that's why these tools are so helpful, whether it's for you or somebody else. It helps you be in the present moment. And the present moment is so powerful for so many things. But I highly recommend this book and those activities. Check out pages 125 to 128. And whether it's for yourself and or for others, share this knowledge that we are energetic beings. It's not woo-woo. It's not weird. It is science. It has been around for a long time. It does work.
Thank you, Geraldine. And Trina, what would you like to add?
Just one line that was in here that I think kind of sums things up. And it said, we are beautifully designed to be self-correcting, self-healing organisms. And I think that a lot of this innate is innate in us. We we think about breathing, like I need to sit down and breathe, or I just have to go out and take a walk. So it's inside of us, and we can correct. And that what's great about this book is it's bringing these tools to our awareness and giving them to us so that we can just use them to self-heal.
Beautiful. And on that note, it's time to conclude our studies, and we thank you for sharing your time and energy with us. You matter and count, so you always make a difference. We look forward to you being with us next week as we leap greater into greater consciousness. Have a powerful week and allow your light to shine, and always all good things to you.
I truly trust the things that the ancestral teachers of my people and our elders are saying, that at this point the world is doing a reset and that we will never be the same again. And that is for the better as far as I'm concerned and all the things I'm seeing, and you guys have validated that with what you've shared. So we're going to close today as the Quantum Leap Book Club. We hope you've enjoyed our particular sharing of this fantastic book, and we look forward to talking to you throughout the week, and you have a wonderful and safe day. OCO.
Thank you for listening to Quantum Leap Book Club. For more information where you can contact us, go to loaradionetwork.com/quantum-leap. Have a great week. You're listening.